Title: Crossfade Automation Between Brake Buses Advanced. Alright, let's build one of the most useful movement engines in drum and bass inside Ableton Live, Crossfade Automation Between Two Brake Buses. The whole idea is simple, but the result is super pro. Instead of swapping brakes or piling layers until your transients start fighting, you take one solid brake source and you blend between two different processing personalities. One is your clean, tight, punchy version. The other is your dirty, smashed, jungle or tech chaos version. Same drummer, same groove, but the character evolves over the phrase. By the end of this, you'll have a repeatable template where you automate a single macro called something like Xfade to B, and it becomes your arrangement tool for ramps, fills, second drop escalation, and those DJ-style energy pushes. Step 1. Prep your brake source, because tight equals blendable. Pick a strong brake. Amen, think, hot pants, whatever fits, loop 1 or 2 bars. Then check your warp settings. For full breaks, Complex Pro is usually safe. If you want that crisp chopped vibe, try Beats mode and preserve transients. If you do use Beats, keep transient loop mode off, and start the envelope somewhere around 20 to 40, so you're not smearing the hits. Now do a quick headroom check, put a utility on the brake track, and set gain so your peaks are around minus 6 dBFS, before heady processing. This matters more than people think, because when we start doing parallel chains, level jumps happen fast. Now step 2, build the A/B routing in a way that's macro-friendly. The fastest and cleanest way in Ableton is an audio effect rack on your brake source track. So create an audio track called Brake SRC. Drop an audio effect rack on it. Open the chain list, make two chains, and name them a clean and be dirty. At this point, you've basically created two parallel buses living inside one rack. It's tidy, it's recallable, and it's perfect for a single macro to control the blend. Step 3. Build the processing chains. Don't overthink it, think in rolls. Chain A is your clean roll, punchy, controlled, and honest. Start with EQ8, high pass around 30 to 40 HC, 24 dB per octave. That keeps the very low junk out and stops the brake from messing with your sub. If it's boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400. If you need snap, a tiny lift around 6 to 9 kHz. Then add glue compressor. Attack somewhere around 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 0.1 to 0.3 seconds or auto, ratio 2 to 1. You're not trying to flatten it. Aim for like 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, just to glue the hits together. Then drum bus. Keep it tasteful. Drive maybe 2 to 6. Crunch low. And usually keep boom at zero so you don't create low-end arguments with your actual bass. Chain B is your dirty jungle or tech smasher. This is where you earn the second drop energy. Start with saturator. Analog clip or soft sign are great. Drive maybe 4 to 10 dB and turn on soft clip. Then, optionally, add redux, but go gentle. Downsample in the 2 to 6 range. Bit reduction barely anything. The goal is texture, not destroying the hats unless that's the aesthetic. Then EQ8 again. High pass around 30 to 50 HC, just like the clean chain. You want low-end consistency across both chains. If it gets painful, dip 3 to 5 kHz a bit. Then compress harder. Glue at 4 to 1. Attack fast, like 0.3 to 3 milliseconds. Release 0.1 to 0.2 seconds, aiming for 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. And then drum bus again, but more aggressive. Drive 5 to 15, crunch 10 to 35%, and use dab to keep the top end from fizzing out. Quick teacher note here, don't make bus be all crunch and no transient. If it turns into a flat slab, your groove loses definition. The best dirty chain still has some shape and punch. Step 4, build an actual crossfade control that doesn't jump in level. Here's the key technique, utilities at the end of each chain. So at the very end of chain A, add utility and call it utility A. At the end of chain B, add another utility called Utility B. Now map both utility gain controls to a single macro on the rack. Rename that macro Xfaded to B. Set the mapping ranges like this. For utility A gain, map it from 0 dB down to minus infinity. For utility B gain, map it from minus infinity up to 0 dB. Now when the macro is at 0%, you hear only A. At 100%, you hear only B, and everything in between is your blend. One important coach move before we automate anything: calibrate the crossfade. Set the macro to 0%, so you're hearing only A. Adjust the chain A output so it sits exactly where you want in the mix. Then set the macro to 100%, hearing only B. Trim chain B's output so it hits the same short-term loudness as A. Use your ears and also watch meters. If A and B aren't loudness matched at the end points, every fade you write will feel wrong, and you'll end up fixing it with messy automation later. Now check the midpoint, around 50%. This is where a lot of people get confused, because you're basically running two processed versions at once. If the snare gets pointy, clicky, papery, or weirdly hollow, that's usually transient stacking plus phase relationships from different EQ curves and saturation harmonics. A practical fix: pick one chain and slightly soften the attack. For example, slow the compressor attack a touch or reduce any aggressive transient emphasis. You're trying to stop the two versions from double hitting the same transient in different ways. Also, keep latency and oversampling consistent. Ableton does delay compensation, but third-party plugins with oversampling can feel different between chains. If one chain is oversampled and the other isn't, your blend can smear or feel like it leans late. So as a rule, match oversampling modes across both chains whenever you can. Now add guardrails. After the rack, on the break SRC track, put a limiter or a very gentle soft clipper. Not to squash it, just a couple dB of safety. This catches peak buildups when you do fast crossfade flicks, without changing the character of either chain. And another quick pro habit: monitor in mono briefly while you sit at the midpoint. If mono collapses the snare body, you're probably hearing phase-related thinning. If that happens, back off extreme boosts inside either chain, or do your bigger tone shaping after the rack, so both sides share the same EQ curve. Step 5. Automate the crossfade like a drum and bass producer, not like a pop fade. Go to Arrangement View and hit it to show automation. Find the automation lane for your macro, exfade it to B. Now think in phrases. D10B loves 8 and 16 bar logic. You can absolutely do a smooth 8 bar ramp into a drop, but a lot of the real magic comes from event-based moves. Here are a few patterns that work constantly. An 8 bar ramp into the drop. Over the last 8 bars before the drop, move from mostly clean toward dirty. Then on the downbeat of the drop, slam back toward clean for punch. After 8 bars, reintroduce some dirty to keep it evolving. A 2-bar DJ blend at phrase ends. Every 16 bars, do a quick push toward B over 2 bars, then return. It feels like hands-on mixer movement without changing the groove. Micro flicks for fills. Last half bar before a new phrase, spike the macro toward B, then snap back on the phrase start. Classic jungle tension move. Timing tip: put your automation nodes on grid divisions like quarter notes or eighth notes so the movement feels intentional and rhythmic, not like a random glide. Now let's solve a couple common problems before they happen. If your crossfade dips in the middle, that's because macro mapping is linear, and our ears don't perceive loudness linearly. You've got two solutions. The simple solution: gain stage the chains a little hotter and compensate with the track fader or a utility after the rack. A more advanced, stockish workaround: create a mid-compensation macro. Basically, you add a small overall boost only during the fade region, like +1 to +2 and a half dB around the 40 to 60% zone. It's not a perfect equal power curve, but it's musical and fast. If your low end shifts while fading, fix it by keeping lows consistent. High pass both chains similarly and consider putting in a Q8 after the rack with a high pass around 30 to 40 Hz. If needed, a gentle shelf reduction below 80 can keep the break from stepping on your sub. If the midpoint gets harsh, especially around 3 to 6 kHz, tame it only during fades. You can automate an EQ notch for those sections, or use multiband dynamics, gently on the high band with a light ratio like 1.3 to 1.8 to 1, just catching the edge. Now for some advanced variations, because this is where it gets really fun. One powerful concept is multiband crossfade: clean lows, dirty highs. Instead of crossfading the entire break, you split by frequency. Chain A focuses on low band punch and transient integrity, chain B focuses on upper band texture and grit. You can do that with EQs acting like crossovers: low pass A, high pass B, then crossfade those. The payoff is huge. Aggression ramps up without destabilizing your kick and snare fundamentals. Another advanced concept is a three-state macro, a 2A plus B to B. In drum and bass, you often want clean or dirty, with only a short thick blend moment. So you map it so the center range keeps both chains up for a brief window, and the ends favor one chain strongly. That makes your automation feel more like intentional performance moves and less like a long wash. You can also crossfade sends instead of the dry signal. Keep the break consistent, but fade how much it hits a dirt room, a smash reverb, or a parallel distortion return. That gives perceived movement without changing articulation. And a big sound design one: resample bus B. If your dirty chain is extreme, print a few bars and use the rendered audio as your dirty version. It becomes stable, repeatable, and you can micro-edit it. If it feels a few milliseconds off, you can nudge it and suddenly the fade feels locked. Now let's do a mini practice exercise so this becomes muscle memory. Set your project to 172 BPM. Use one break loop on break SRC. Build the A and B chains. Map the utilities to one macro. Add the post-track safety limiter. Then write a 32-bar drop automation like this. Bars 1 to 8. Mostly A. Around 0 to 15%. Bars 9 to 16. Ramp up to about 60%. Bars 17 to 24, hold around 70 to 85% for the gritty main section. Bars 25 to 32, do talkback moves. Every two bars, flick up to about 95% for half a bar, then back to around 75. Then bounce a rough and listen for three things. Does the volume dip at midpoint? Do you get harshness in that 3 to 6K area during blends? And most importantly, does it still feel like one drummer, or does it feel like two breaks fighting? Recap, so it sticks. You're building two parallel break buses inside an audio effect rack. A clean, B dirty. You're putting a utility at the end of each chain, mapping their gains to a single macro, and you're automating that macro in phrase-based, rhythmic moves. You calibrate loudness at the endpoints. You check mono at the midpoint. You keep the low end stable, and you add a tiny bit of post-track safety limiting, so your performance flicks don't blow up the mix. Once you've got this set up, you'll start hearing your arrangement differently. Instead of thinking I need a new break, you'll think I need a new moment, and you'll create it with automation. If you tell me what substyle you're aiming for, roller, techstep, neuro, jungle, and which break you're using, I can suggest specific chain settings and a crossfade pattern that matches your phrase structure.